Today's sponsor is Home Theater Solutions. Absolutely love these guys. HTS is your local technology expert, serving Delaware for 16 years. Home Theater Solutions specializes in TV installations, home automations, Sonos audio systems, security cameras, and Wi-Fi networks. For all of your home and business tech needs, give them a call, 1-800-690-2029, or visit htsav.net. All right, welcome back. This is the Rehoboth Social Podcast, part of the Social Podcast Network, www.socialpodcastnetwork.com. Local folks doing local podcasts. Good morning. It is July 18th, Monday, the day after an amazing weekend. Good morning. How are you?
I'm great, Tom. How you doing? Well, you got a good voice for this, too. I never really realized it all the years we've known each other, but you sound good. You sound like a podcaster.
I do.
Born to do this. It's good.
Well, I tell you, when I start talking on the microphone, I definitely take it down.
Yeah, there's definitely a little bit. Yeah, I could tell it's a different voice.
I try not to use my squeaky, whiny voice when I do the podcast. So listen, good morning. It is great to have you on. I was telling my wife, I said, yeah, I'm having Brian. Now, I want to pronounce this right. Seif?
Yes.
Okay, because this... You know, I have Seifs and Seifs in my past.
No one ever gets it right. No one ever, but it is Seif.
It's a 50-50.
Yeah, exactly. And I'll answer to anything. It doesn't matter. I've gotten all kinds of, as long as you don't, you know.
Well, we want to have you on. So you, like you mentioned, we are friends. I've been cutting your hair for, I don't know, however many years.
15 years, been, 16 years, something like that.
Yeah, it's been a hot minute. You still have it. That's good. That keeps me in business.
Exactly. It's, you know, it's a little lighter than it used to be, but it's still there.
Yeah, well, it looks good, man. I you know, when we start getting, I'm a little older than you, but when we start getting a little older, I'm just still got this, still got that. You know, it's all we can do is to hang on a little bit. Well, so listen, I thought it'd be fun to have you on. Because I said, hey, you should come do my podcast. And you're like, I don't know. And we chat for like a half hour anyway. I'm like, this is a podcast. So I thought it'd be easy.
Yeah, no, it's perfect. I was thinking we should do it while we're cutting hair. We could do it like Seinfeld used to do that, coffee in cars with comedians, just while you're cutting someone's hair, just do the podcast at the same time. I think that might be, maybe make a YouTube channel and take it to the next level.
Well, my wife and I are right now in a Seinfeld binge. We locked
perfect.
In.
Perfect. See, there you go.
Yeah, we went to Netflix and just started it over. And that Jerry son of, or that, what's the guy? The guy that cuts his hair. Remember the episode where with the haircut? And this will look like a Jerry Seinfeld's hair.
Enzo was an Enzo.
Yeah, Enzo. That Edward Scissorhands, he making me cry.
It never gets old.
Well, we could do a podcast on a whole lot of nothing, but really there is a point.
Okay, I didn't know what it was. I just thought we were coming on to talk. So,
well, you do have a business.
I do. Yes,
you've got some adventures going on since I've known you. You guys have. I think, you know, I don't know if anybody knows your wife, but Jenna, she was our pediatrician at one point way back in the day, and she's doing her new thing. And you were working over at a local spot, and you've opened your own spot.
Correct.
And I thought it would be fun to just chat about it. You know, I may need your services coming up. You know, I am getting older.
We are all getting older, so that's, you know, that keeps me in business also, so it works.
Well, let's talk about the adventure.
Yeah. So, yes, originally when we met and I was down here, we moved down here in 2008, and I used to work over on 24 at the Eye Institute, which was wonderful. I was the plastics guy in the ophthalmology group, so people would come in for their cataracts and be like, oh, by the way, you have droopy eyelids. Let's send you to a guy. I was that guy.
We could do a podcast just on droopy eye excuses, right?
Exactly. There are a lot of those. But, yeah, that was my gig for about... I was there almost 4 years, then took a little detour, went up to Wilmington for about 3 years, joined another doc up there, and then decided really it would be great to work for myself. So there was a Dr. Carey, who had his main practice in Dover and then a little satellite down here on Savannah Road, was retiring. We had known each other, and he asked if I wanted to take over, and sure, why not? So I took over him. It'll be 6 years in August since I took over for him, so I've been on my own since then, which is terrifying at first. You know, you get used to working with or at least for someone for a long time, and all of a sudden you're making all those decisions, and it's stressful because there's no one. I keep looking over my shoulder for someone else, and they're not there. So the buck stops here, but it's been great. 100% the right decision. I like the autonomy. I like not being beholden to anyone. I've remained friends
except
with
for
everyone.
Yourself.
Yes, well, yeah, and my wife. Yes.
Well, and there's, you know, it's a great topic. You know, obviously, what you're doing is awesome, but just the fact of taking on a small business. I saw an interview with a guy the other day who was interviewing his grandfather, And I don't know how old he was. Clearly, you know, definitely up there. And he says, any words of advice pop up? And he goes, yeah, don't get in debt and work for yourself.
Yeah.
And I was like, yeah, that is because, you know, it is because I own a small business and, you know, I see it all the time. And I remember Matt Haley was like, hey, man, as long as you don't steal from your business, you're going to be fine. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. But, you know, that's a little harsh version of it. But when you start really owning your business, I remember when the salon first opened up and I called Matt, I go, I got like $3,000 in the bank. He goes, have you paid the rent? I go, well, no. And he goes, have you paid the electric? I was like, not yet. And he goes, you don't have any money in the bank.
There's nothing there.
Yeah. So, but it was a real eye opener, you know, and I think people think that when you own a business that you are a millionaire.
Yeah. And automatically. It just happens, right? The day you open the doors, it just comes in.
Two things that start happening. First of all, now you're a millionaire. And second of all, everything you can buy, you can write off.
Yeah.
And that's not the case.
Oh, it's all a write-off. Everything's a write-off. You can do this, you can do that. And
yeah, exactly. And you're like, no, that means the business, someone's paying for this. This isn't write-off, isn't like something from heaven here. Someone's paying.
Yeah, exactly. I'll tell you what happened the day that I opened it is I ended up in the emergency room with palpitations because I was so nervous and so awful. I literally had to wear a heart monitor for 48
really?
Hours. Oh, yeah. I was having arrhythmias. That's how nervous I was about going out on my own and doing this whole thing. And yeah, it's stressful, and the body reacts in strange ways, and that was the way mine decided to react, is I had arrhythmias for like a week leading up to it, and then everything turned. I'm fine. Yeah, and I see the concern on your face. I am fine.
Well, but, I'm shocked. Well, you came in and you said you were nervous. I'm like, you are?
No, it was, well, this, oh, yeah. Yeah, exactly. That. But that was.
Please don't go get another heart.
Yeah, no, I won't. My heart's
this.
Good. I was checking on the way here. I'm okay. I'm still regular. It should be all right.
Well, people think that this is some sort of like court session or something, and it's really a conversation. It's really about promoting small business. It's about promoting my friends that are taking the leap. You know, it's a, you know, and I think it's great to hear this kind of message because, you know, I remember, you know, and Matt Haley was a huge reason that I ended up getting a small business because I would chat with him and I'd be like, yeah, sick of working for these people. I'm sick of this. He's like, why don't you open your own salon? I'm like, oh. And then I do this a few times. He's like, listen, man, either open the salon or shut up.
Yeah,
and yeah. I said, "All right, let's try." And I remember he set me up an appointment with Rhonda Myers over at Community Bank, which was an amazing bank, the only bank that would give me a loan for my small business, by the way. And then he put me on with like great CPA, and he says, "Just go work, just go do what you do, and don't steal from the business, and you'll be fine. One day at a time."
Yeah, it's a huge leap of faith. I remember when we moved, I did my fellowship training, my plastics training, out in San Francisco, UCSF, and we would have loved to have stayed in California. Like, mm-hmm. There's still days. I love Delaware. Don't get me wrong. But there are days we wake up and go, God, it would be great to still be there. I don't know about now so much. It's changed a little bit. But we loved it. It was the best 2 years we had.
Sure.
And we had an opportunity to stay there and kind of passed it up. And we got here. And then I was talking to my financial advisor. I'm like, we should have just stayed in California and opened up our own thing. He goes, you absolutely could have done that. It's easy. I could have walked you through the entire thing. It's a no-brainer. It seems so daunting when you think about it, and it's not. It's stressful, but it's
well, and it's like
doable.
Everything. You know, we've just kind of come through this. You know, we've had anxiety about opening a small business. Will it fail? I mean, I think the whole world just went through anxiety about shutting down. Mm-hmm. And you know, I was talking about this with my father-in-law, and I think the big challenge is that we all went through one of the scariest times. You know, as far as being inconvenienced and came through it, you know, obviously anybody that, you know, lost family, T's and P's, but, you know, for the most part, whoever came through it, were like, you mean I can go through something like that and still make it? And I think that's kind of what created this sort of this mental reset that we've all kind of hear about, like, you know, whether everybody says nobody wants to work. I don't believe that. I think there are people that like to work. It's just, it's a... just trying to figure out where you're going to fit in now.
Yeah, there's a new normal. I mean, it's never going to be the same as it was 3 years ago before any of this happened.
Right.
And I see it in my office. I see it out and about. I mean, it's a different, we're living in a different reality. And
well,
it is what it is. You get used to it and you adjust. That's what we do.
I know for myself, it's you know, because I sort of came out unscathed, right? We had the salon. We've sort of been in business. I think we were closed for 6 weeks. But the one, too, is the price increase of everything. And so, you know, we all see it, right? And I think in the beginning, we're like, this isn't, you know, we'll get through this. But it's starting to set in, right? Like, even, like, people with, like, yourself, who's a millionaire, are starting to really...
Of course, I got my own business.
Right. Are starting to question whether you even want to go out and get dinner. So it's... but this, what it requires is for us, at least for me, is to, you know, take a little pause, try to be a little kinder, a little nicer.
Yeah.
You know, appreciate the fact that people are even walking through the door. You know, I had a couple the other day, and they were a challenge. And, you know, I'm just like, you know, let's do this. And I was trying to be super easy and easygoing and really helpful and walking, because they were new clients, and just trying to walk them through the, you know, the experience of having the first visit, whatever it is, whether it's in your office or mine. And after it was all said and done, the lady that was in another chair, she looked over and she goes, "You are very good at that." And I go, "Well, I just want to stay open." You know,
exactly.
It's called, I'm trying to have some humility, mm-hmm. and trying to, you know, just take a little beating from the people, because they're out there giving out beatings.
They are. People are cranky, and they take it out on you. And the problem is, especially where we are, this is a small town. So if you piss one person off, they're going to go to their
Facebook.
HOA or their Facebook or their church group or whoever it is and tell their friends. And next thing you know, there's 10 people who are like, "Oh, I heard he was really mean. I heard he won't, you know, he won't accommodate this and that." And then now, you know, people aren't walking through the door. So you have to be nice to everyone and sometimes swallow your pride and whatever it may be. And that's almost the hardest thing to do. We have people walk in. Listen, I have emergencies sometimes and I can run. It's a doctor's office.
Yeah.
I love to be on time. It stresses me out when I'm behind. Mm. But there are times when I'm 20, 30, sometimes 40 minutes behind. And it's unavoidable. It's not that my office has scheduled improperly. It's not that I'm taking my time and I don't care or not moving fast.
Be honest.
It's that, somebody rolled in with three more problems than they were on the list for, and I'm not going to kick them out the door and make them come back and make another appointment. So we talk about it, and it takes a little longer, And 95% of the people sitting out there in the waiting room are as understanding as can be. The first thing I do when I walk in the room is apologize. I'm sorry to keep you waiting. But every now and then you do get that one who just wants to make an issue of it and wants to talk about that. I said, well, okay, and we can talk about it, but know that the extra 10 minutes I'm going to spend with you is now an extra 10 minutes that everyone else out there is waiting. So now you've become part of the problem, not so much part of the solution. But you can't say these things. You can say them nicely, but you can't say what's really on your mind. And
well, you know, and I think there's some, you know, I think there's some great opportunities really for growth for everybody. I know, at least for me, when a situation like that may come up, and I may say, you know, I really appreciate the conversation. I appreciate that we were able to work that out. I appreciate the person, whoever I'm talking to, is patient. Sometimes I think it's nice when we recognize when somebody else is at least trying, right? We all are right on the verge. I mean, listen, I'm 90% great.
Yeah.
But there's a 10% of my day where I'm that person. And there's a 10% of my day that I'm stuck in the middle of the intersection, right? And I'm blocking everybody.
Mm-hmm.
I preach all day, "You don't do this. You know better." And then there's that day and you're out there and you're like, "I'm the guy. What happened?" And you know, I think that so we're all capable, but like yesterday our water heater went out yesterday. I don't know why. But it did. And I called this guy. It's on a Sunday. And he was so helpful. And he's like, "Listen, if I come out there, it's going to be $149 if you want to wait till tomorrow." I'm like, "No, absolutely. Tomorrow's fine." And he was just very, very friendly. You know, not loose, but, you know, not super strict. And he was just cool enough that I was like, and at the end I said, "Listen." And he goes, I'm just some idiot sitting here, you know, doing this. And I go, "First of all, you are not." I said, you were a great representative. The conversation that we just had made me feel really comfortable about your business.
Yeah.
And this is this is plumbing, HVAC. You know, there's so many. It's hard to get.
And it's a thankless job because you're getting a lot of those. That you are not the first phone call he got. And
right.
Not the last one he's going to get on a Sunday afternoon. Yeah.
And I told him, I go, "Listen, man, I you're valuable. You are a great representative of this company right now, because the conversation I had stopped me from calling somebody else."
Yeah.
I'm like, "This guy, I like this guy. He was very helpful. I'm going to wait. We'll wait till tomorrow, and I'm looking forward to him." And he texts me. He goes, "Hey, thank you. Thanks for the compliment." And he goes, "Well, first of all," I said, "are you the owner? Because if you are, I should have you on my podcast." And he goes, "No, I'm just this idiot sitting here doing this." I go, "Man, let me tell you what. You are a valuable employee. Yeah. You were a great representative of this company. I'm not dialing any more numbers tonight. This is where I feel good. And he texts me back and goes, no, I appreciate that. That made me feel good. What's the podcast? I'll listen.
And it costs you nothing to do that. Nothing to be nice to someone and just have a little patience with someone. And that's,
and we're going to talk about your business, but I think there is a tone in the world, or at least in our world for me, that everybody, it's everybody's fault. You know, whether it's, you know, everybody wants to blame our president, which we won't get into that, but there's somebody always to blame, right? And I'm like, until I can figure out the part that I played, whether it's buying too much stuff that I didn't need, you know, there's something that took place early on in our lives that changed, that really allowed this place that we are today.
Yeah.
And, you know, I've been drinking from the pool, you know, I've been eating the fruits of all the hard labor that's gone in, and now it seems like nobody wants to take any accountability for where we are at today and just blame everybody. So I think it's nice for when we have individual opportunities to bridge these little gaps.
Absolutely.
You know, we can't bridge it all in one country.
No.
There's the bridge is too freaking big, right? But if we, you know, individually can start to set the tone, we might be able to start to get ourselves out of this jam.
Yeah, no, I agree. Just a little step here and a little step there, mm-hmm. and then everyone's being a little bit nicer. Everyone's a little more tolerant. Everyone understands that, hey, everyone else is going through what I'm going through right now.
Right.
And just accepting that and understanding that and realizing your part in it and how I can make it a little bit better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
We'll get there.
We're getting there.
We'll get there.
So let's talk about the business. So, okay. You know, I was just over there. I had to, you know, it's been a few days. I had to trim my beard, and I was like, my eyes are looking a little tired. Best excuse you've heard for a reason why someone should have their eyes fixed. I love this because you and I always talk about this. It's this, It's like there's an actual measurement.
Yeah, there is, yes. And we'll get in the nitty gritty because I think that is the most common thing I see, hands down, is droopy eyelids. People walk in, either they've been sent by someone else. If it's a man, usually he's been sent by his wife. Otherwise, their optometrist, ophthalmologist has sent him over for droopy lids. And they're like, number one, what do you do? And number two, is my insurance going to cover it?
Yeah, because at one point, it's a facelift. Mm-hmm. And at another point, it's repairing of droopy eyes.
Yeah.
So we get
a lot of droopy eyes. And so the criteria, these are the secrets now, if anyone's out there. There's three things that the insurance company is going to look at when you come in. Number one, they're going to want to hear complaints. You know, I have someone come in and say, my doctor sent me over for my droopy eyelids. And the first thing I ask, does it bother you or does it just bother your doctor? They're like, it's just bothering the doctor. I'm like, well, right there, I can tell you, we probably don't need to do this.
First red X.
Well, what do you want me to say? I'm like, no, if it's not bothering you, I don't want you to lie to me. But if you come in and telling me, hey, you know, I have trouble driving, especially at night because I'm not getting enough light in. I find I need to turn my head all the way to look through that side view mirror because I have a shadow here on the sides, which is where it most commonly becomes obstructed. You know, those are the kind of things I want to know. I'm bumping my head on the kitchen cabinets because I can't see above sort of the midline here because everything's hanging down low. Silly things like that.
Yeah.
I had someone tell me, listen, I had a fender bender because I was changing lanes and I couldn't see the car next to me. I didn't think anything was there. So I hit someone. Like, that's an extreme example. But yeah, if there's a functional deficit, we want to know that, and I want to be able to write that in the chart. So that's number one they're going to look at is, how's it bothering you? How's it affecting what they call your activities of daily living?
Yeah.
You know, driving, reading, all the things, you know, how is it making an effect? Number two, we're going to take pictures. And what they're going to want to see in the pictures is, and they literally measure the distance from the center of the pupil to the edge of the skin. How low is it coming down? It's got to be 2 millimeters, which really isn't a lot. It's hard for people to sometimes conceptualize that. So I say, listen, if that skin hangs down low enough to cover your eyelid, cover your eyelashes, and start to obscure your pupil, because the pupil's about, you know, 6 millimeters in diameter, so 3 millimeters. So if it's coming down over the top of that, it's going to be almost 2 millimeters. That's what we want to see. So if you're looking in the mirror and you could see your whole pupil all the way around, you probably don't have enough yet. Women, I tell a little difference. I say, if you've got someplace to put eyeliner, if you could still see your eyelashes and you can get mascara on there, then no, you probably don't have enough yet. It's really got to hang down over the top.
It's probably pretty obvious.
Yeah.
It's just trying to get into the club.
Yeah, exactly. It is. And that's the thing I tell people. They're like, you can write a letter. It's got nothing to do with what I say. They're going to look at the pictures. They're going to look at my note. And then the third thing they're going to look at is what's called a visual field test. And for this, I'll send you back to your eye doctor, optometrist. And you stare at a little dot on a screen. You let everything relax, your forehead, your brows relax, and lights flash up and down in your peripheral vision. And every time you see one out of the corner of your eye, you click a button. If you don't see it, you don't click it. Then they take a piece of tape, a finger, whatever it is, they lift up your eyelid, and they repeat the test. Uh-huh. And that will quantify how much of your vision's blocked and how much improvement are you getting when we lift everything up out of the way. And there are certain benchmarks they're looking for. You need 30 degrees of blockage and 10 degrees of improvement when we lift your eyelids up. And that's, you know, I tell people, listen, nobody gets to sit here with you. They're not going to talk with you. They're going to look at these three pieces of paper and say yes or no, and that's it. And if they say no, I'll see you back in a year, and we'll try again.
It's like trying to get a warranty on a mattress.
It is.
There's like whole, how much sinkage, you know.
A lot of hoops, and in most cases, they hope you'll just give up. So once they say no, it's, well, can't you do, no, because they're going to continue to say no and no and no, and let's just revisit this in a year.
So what happens if the bags under my eyes are blocking my vision? Yeah.
That's always the like, well, I can't see. What about these? Yeah, that one they've
if
never.
If I hang upside down, my bags are blocking my vision. Can we work on that?
I'm still looking for the one excuse for lower lids. Lower lids are always out of pocket. Lower lids insurance will never cover those because they're like, it's not functional. We don't like the way it looks. It makes us look older. Yeah, there's lower lids they never, ever do. I even had one. I remember an instructor when I was back in training putting up a slide of a guy who had such big bags that it covered the bottom part of his bifocal. Like, literally, the skin was against that one little window in a bifocal lens, and they still said no.
Oh.
So, yeah, they never, ever. Yeah, that's where they draw the line. Upper lids, yes, we can get them through if they're bad enough. Lower lids, it's always, yeah.
That doesn't sound good.
Yeah.
Well, I know that's not all you do.
It's a big part of it. No, we do a whole bunch of other stuff, but I will say, you know, 70% of walks through the door on any given day, yes, they're droopy eyelids. But no, we do other things.
Are you still splitting your time back and forth from here? Are you still working down here and in Dover?
I am. Yeah, okay. And I live in Wilmington most of the time. So that's, so I spend a lot of time in the car, which we've discussed. And
What's gas at now?
I had to go out and get a hybrid simply because I can't afford to be driving up. I'm not a millionaire because I have my own practice. So so we got a hybrid so I don't have to spend quite as much on gas, but it still hurts. Every week when I have to do it.
We're billionaires, fake millionaires.
Exactly. our main office is Dover, at the Eden Hill Medical Center. So from here, where you and I are sitting there, it's about 45 minutes door-to-door, at least the way I drive, maybe a little longer, and someone who's a little more cognizant
less
of
aggressive.
The speed limit. Yes, exactly. Yeah, not from Jersey. And then we're down here. We have an office on Savannah Road, and I'm down there every Monday. That's where I'm going right after we're done here. So it's 4 days a week in Dover and then 1 day a week down here. We also have a wonderful, fantastic nurse that we just hired probably about 6 months ago who's in the Lewis office Wednesdays and Thursdays doing injectables, Botox, fillers, you know, those sorts of things. Because me being here 1 day a week, I can't keep up with the demand, especially over the last couple of years, how the population has exploded and everyone's moving down here from part-time to full-time. And it's been just too busy, which is not a bad problem to have, but we needed help. So Tiffany is her name, Tiffany Botis-Pellegrino. She's fantastic, love her to death, and she does a wonderful, wonderful job. I'm going to get her to start doing mine instead of making my wife do it because she hates every minute of it.
Nice.
I draw little dots on my forehead. I say, this is where I need you to put it. She goes, you know, I don't do this. You need to go to Tiffany. I said, you'll be fine. You'll be fine. That way, if anything goes wrong, I can blame her. So it's perfect.
I can do it. I'm a hair doctor.
Exactly. See, there. It's not hard.
No.
Don't tell anybody. Don't. And anyone out there listening, don't tell anybody, but it's really not that hard to do.
So would you recommend no Botox before your eyelid check?
And if anything, it'll make things droopier if you do it right. So I definitely need my eyelids done.
I remember, and as a guy in the hair business, you know, people that are doing Botox are always coming in and out of that world. And I remember, I don't know, it's probably been 12 years now. And I was doing a lady's hair that did Botox, and she's like, "We can trade." I go, "Sure, I'll trade with you." And so I did her hair, and then she did Botox on me. And I remember sitting on the couch and like trying to I couldn't lift my eyes out of the way. Like my bags were actually really in the way. It was really funny. But I remember I'm like, yeah, so my service is like 180. Her service was like 600. Yeah. So I'm like, I can't do this. I'm going to be in debt to you for the rest of my life.
Exactly. A lifetime of free haircuts. Yeah. Yeah, but I think that's fair. That's fair. A lot of barter down here. It's a small town. This is what we do.
Sign on the line.
Exactly.
I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to be cutting your hair forever.
Yeah. So that's sort of our split. We also have two wonderful estheticians who do a lot of our skincare and our lasers and our peels and things like that. And they split time between both offices. So they're both covered, you know, 4 to 5 days a week now, which is nice. It was sort of my goal when I took over for this other doc because he didn't spend a lot of time in Lewis. That office didn't get a lot of care and feeding. So we're growing. We're doing what we need to do to supply, you know, what we need for the population now.
Absolutely. Well, and let's talk a little bit about Botox because I didn't realize you do that. Because, you know, I think people think, oh, Botox, oh, you know, these people. But really there's a lot of, you know, my wife got Botox in for sweating.
Yeah.
And it actually worked. It's not like she, you know, it wasn't like a Menin commercial or something where the guy, the water's shooting out. But, you know, he was, you know, but when you're, I think every woman would prefer not to sweat in their underarms. And, you know, and if you're working in banks and stuff. And so she had the procedure done and her insurance did cover it.
Yeah.
I'm not saying it will cover everybody, but for some reason it covered it.
Yeah.
And it was successful. It was like a big deal, you know.
Oh, yeah.
And I know another lady that gets Botox for headaches.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, this is especially when, now, I'm not a doctor, but I know that she was taking a lot of medication. She was doing a lot of acupuncture, all this stuff to try to help with these headaches and ended up getting the shots, and it helped.
And that did it, yeah. Migraines specifically, yeah, it works great for those. I specifically don't do the migraine ones. We tend to refer those out to neurology because they're going into different spots and different spaces, and they know the sort of key trigger points that, you know, where to put these. And it's a lot, you know, to do a regular cosmetic Botox treatment, which is mostly what we do. It's, you know, 40 units, 60 units, somewhere like that. Some of these headache people are getting 100, 150 units put all over in the trapezius, in the back of the neck, in the back of the head. But it does work. It works beautifully. It, you know, something you need to keep up with. So it's doing it 2 or 3 times a year or every 4 to 6 months. But for migraines, yeah, it is great. Problem, again, getting back to insurance.
Right.
There's hoops to jump through. I don't know the exact criteria, but you need to show that you've tried at least 3 months of alternative therapies. You need to have X number of headaches per week or per month or whatever it is. So they're looking at a lot of it because obviously you don't want people coming in saying, oh, I have migraines, let's do my Botox. And, oh, I also happen to look great because I'm putting
it in
those spots.
I get them in the forehead.
Yeah, exactly. I get them right here around my eyes is really where I feel it. But no, for medical Botox, patients with spasms, patients with headaches, sweating, those are sort of the big ones that we see also patients coming in, and those will get covered by insurance. Again, usually it's neurology. We send them out to those guys when it's a headache issue, but it definitely works.
Well, I would
it
imagine
it look good.
You've been doing it long enough. You can tell the real situation. You know, if a person cannot, I mean, you'll see someone's eyes. It's clearly an issue. If someone has migraines, this isn't about, you know, looks. This is like, I am, you know, listen, people that really suffer with migraines can really end up in a pretty dark place. So it's a, you know, anything that's, they're usually not trying to get, you know, something else out of, out of another service.
Yeah, no,
so
migraines are no joke. Jenna has them. And I remember one time early on in our dating, we were driving together and there was this huge pole, one of those collapsible ones. So if you do run over it, it doesn't ruin your car.
Right.
But she's pulling into a park. She's like, I'm starting to get a migraine. I can feel it. And she pulls into the spot and literally hits this thing head on, dead center. I said, did you not see that? She goes, no, I told you I'm getting a migraine. She gets this huge blind spot and can't see anything over there. I think she just wanted Botox, but that's just between me and you.
Yeah, hold on 1 second. I got to, let me just pause this 1 second. All right, sorry, I had to pause there.
No, so we're back.
It's like a whole lot of shit going on. Out there.
Life gets in. These things happen. Yeah. These things happen. So yeah, let me backtrack just for my people listening who don't know me or what I do. Specifically, I do what they call oculofacial. You can't see my air quotes, but I am putting air quotes up. Oculofacial plastic surgery. So facial plastic surgery, but really focus and my wheelhouse is the area in and around the eyes. So it's eyelids, it's eyebrows, it's tear duct, it's eye socket itself. You know, any of those things, that's kind of my specialty.
Yeah.
Which there's only 3 of us in Delaware and the other 2 are up in Wilmington. So Dover and All Point South, it's me. So there's a lot of stuff that I get from, yeah, optometrists, ophthalmologists, that there's nowhere else for them to go. Blocked tear duct, or patients with thyroid eye disease with the big bulgy eyes that need care. Like, it's that's it. I'm the guy here.
You're the eye guy.
Yeah, I'm the guy. I'm the eyelid guy. Because then patients see, you know, the oculo part of oculofacial. They go, oh, can you do my cataracts? I'm like, no, you don't want me to. I can technically if you, but probably not the guy you want. They wouldn't want me cutting their hair either. Like, theoretically, I probably could physically do something, but it's not going to be right, and it's not going to turn out good. So
yeah,
no.
So that's not a good idea.
So that's the bulk of what I do. So a lot of it's like a 50-50 medical, those sorts of patients, and then the other 50%, yeah, it's cosmetic eyelids and the Botox and the filler and those sorts of things. So we got a nice little spectrum of what we handle over there.
I think my mom was your patient.
Mm-hmm. She was.
She loved you.
I don't want to violate HIPAA and bring that up, but yeah, she was.
Well, she passed away. She gone. Jean's on to the next adventure, so she won't be suing you. But no, but listen, you know, it's a tough, you know, I don't know the age group of range that you see people, I would imagine as they get older. I mean, I'm sure you're willing to see anybody that needs your service, but I would imagine most of your clients are probably getting older.
Yeah, I mean, we're in a high retirement area, right. So yes, my patients do skew that way, but we cover the spectrum. I have a lot of younger patients coming in for either the cosmetic eyelid surgeries or the Botox and the fillers and those sorts of things.
Well, I know my mom really thought the world of you, and she used to, because, you know, I'd be like, oh, yeah, I cut his hair. Oh, I just love Brian. It's just some Dr. Seif or whatever she called you. But you know, that's, you know, as a son, you know, it's one of the things, and I don't know how your relationship is with I'm sure it's great, but I know as a son who lives in the same town with his older parents, you know, I'm constantly, you know, watching over him. Yeah. And as this transition to my parents' age now, they can be a little bit of a, they can be preyed upon a little bit, unfortunately, by businesses. And, you know, it's nice when you hear that they see doctors and they see, you know, different businesses that they are treated well. You know, it's comforting and it's a big deal. And I think that, you know, you should be proud of that. People are like,
I appreciate that. And we spend most of the time talking about you, just so you know, whenever she'd come in for appointments. That's a nice part of being in a small town. Somebody's either someone's mother or works with someone or something else. I'm like, oh, okay, then I need the dirt. Let's talk. So,
well, and she spoke highly of you when I was talking to her. So.
And you too, is most highly.
What the hell's really going on? So, how's your summer been?
It's been great. It's been great. I love summertime. We get to spend a lot more time down here because, like I was saying, I live in Wilmington, but we do have a place here in Lewis. I've been here on Mondays for the last 6 years, so I'll always come down, you know, in the off season, and then during the season we'll come down and do the whole weekend, and then I get to stay Sunday night. I get a quiet night where no 7-year-olds are sneaking into my bedroom, or I get the entire bed to myself.
Oh, they're still sneaking in.
He's still coming in. Yeah, exactly. The pediatrician wife hasn't figured out how to break him of that habit. And
listen,
I blame
she doesn't want to break
it. I blame her. Yeah, exactly.
No, she doesn't want to break it. That happens with us. Our daughter loves to come sneaking in our room, and it's like I'm in my spot, and then all of a sudden we all start sliding down. But I tell you what, I love it.
Yeah. Yeah,
don't tell anybody, but I absolutely love
it.
It is great,
especially 6 nights a week. But that 7th night when I'm down here by myself, it is kind of nice to get one good night's sleep in a week. But no, we love it. So we've done the summers are getting a little shorter because the kids are getting a little older. So now it's baseball. So baseball went 3 weeks into the summer, which was wonderful. My little one made the All-Star team up in Brandywine, and I will gladly sacrifice weekends to do those sorts of family things, which is wonderful. We took a little vacation around 4th of July because it gets so busy here. We've decided we'd like to get out of town. So we just came back from Maine. We were up in Bar Harbor, Acadia. Oh, it's beautiful.
I've actually been to Syracuse, New York. I guess that's the farthest I've been.
Syracuse counts.
Yeah. But I love, we go up to Connecticut where my in-laws are in town, in fact, and we were just talking about it. I'm like, we'll come up the week before Thanksgiving. I love it up there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's beautiful. Even driving up there, because we were supposed to fly and we got canceled. So we ended up driving to, which was about 10 hours from Wilmington.
That's about what it would have taken to fly there, I bet.
Yeah. No, we were flying from Philly direct into Bangor, and it was an hour and 40-minute flight.
No, I mean adding in the cancellations and waiting.
48 hours, they rebooked us. They sent us an email saying, your flight's perfect, and then 2 minutes later, the email came and said, your flight's canceled, we're rebooking you, and then an hour later, it's like, okay, great, you're rebooked for Monday, which was the 4th. We were supposed to fly on Saturday. So we've got the Airbnb, we've got things lined up. Like, no, we got to get there. So we got in the car and drove.
Well, and I think that people use that mentality a little bit. It's like by the time you drive to the airport, you set in the airport, mm-hmm. you finally get on the plane, you fly, all the thing. You know, it's probably an additional 3 hours. Yeah. So it's really like two more extra hours, yeah, really.
Exactly. And I made Jenna drive because I drive enough during the week. So it was perfect. I'm like, you drive. And so we broke it up in Boston. We saw a friend who I haven't gotten to see in a while. Saw his kids and the family and had a wonderful time. So we made we made lemonade out of the lemons that we got from the airline that I won't mention. But they did get us back okay. So we flew back, which worked out all right.
What's it like? Because I know you guys just have one son.
Two. Jack is 12 now. Jack is 12 and Evan is 7.
So I can tell you, as a parent that's watching my kids start to grow up, you know, we have the early one, David, who's 16. He's the test balloon. Mm-hmm. You know, like,
mm-hmm. yeah.
I tell you, and you can tell me what you think. The other day, I was just really sitting there, just feeling really overwhelmed with the idea of raising kids to adulthood.
Yeah.
It was like kind of. Like, I can't, the idea, the goal line, and honestly, I don't know if there ever, I mean, I know my parents have never finished raising me, right? We're still, saw my dad yesterday.
Still some work to be done. Still some
right,
work
still
to be
some
done
work to be done. But the idea is just so scary. And, you know, David at 16, he's actually doing it, right?
Yeah.
But isn't it fun to watch your kids go from that, you know, 0 to 6 to like 6 to 12. Yeah. There's this real, because you start having these great little relationships and these cool conversations. I call my kids my mini adults.
Yeah.
Because I tell them all the time, the only difference between you and me is my height and my experience. Because everything else, I feel like a 15-year-old kid driving a 54-year-old car.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
So, but it's, I just love watching my kids, like, you know, the conversations, you know, I won't make a big deal, but unfortunately, my ex-wife was in a car accident this morning, and my son was in the car. Turn your fucking phones off, people. She was rear-ended by someone on a phone.
Mm-hmm.
And so turn your phones off.
Probably a Pennsylvania driver, too.
But, you know, he was really scared, and just, you know, walking with him just now, and he was like, you know, it's not that it hurt. I was just really frightened and loud. It was like, I understand. It's like this, all of a sudden, I'm having these great conversations with my kids. And
yeah, the evolution is neat, because you talk about different things. And you get to a stage, you're like, oh, look at him. He's like a little person. And then a couple more years go by, and oh, no, now he's a little person. And then next thing you know, they're 12 or 16. And you go, okay, now they're really a person. They've got their own personality. They've got their own thing.
And they have great ideas.
Yeah. Yeah.
They have great ideas. And you know what we're starting to have now is our kids are calling us out on our shit. Where, like, you know, I'll do something or my wife will do something, and I'm like, I'm not saying anything because I don't feel like, you know, getting into a bickering. But my daughter's like, girl, you need to get up. You know, she'll say that to my wife. Like my wife's like, I'm not going out there. It's too dark or something. She's like, girl, get up, get outside. It's not that dark. You know, I'm like, oh, I'm glad she said it, not me.
Yeah, exactly. Thank God.
Yeah.
You coach them a little bit, be like, listen, when mom does this, you just got to say something. But it didn't come from me.
Right. It didn't come from me. Yeah. Well, the cool thing is that I didn't have to even say that, you know, the kids are starting. I just think it's, listen, if I had the energy and the money, I'd have more. My wife asked me the other day, she goes, do you ever think about having any more kids?
Ooh, that conversation. Yeah.
Well, we have 3 years, still one short.
No, we're good. We both decided mutually after the second one, we're like, yeah, I think we're done. And then everyone, patients included, everyone, are you going to go for the girl? Are you going to go for the daughter? Because you have two boys. I'm like, no, we're good. We're good.
Dude, daughters are pretty awesome.
I know they are.
Sons are great.
Yes.
Love sons.
Yeah.
But daughters
are...
It's a
whole different ball of wax, though. Yeah. I had a sister who was 10 years younger than me, so it was almost like having a little girl, and it is... Oof,
yeah.
It is a different set of challenges.
Well, it breaks the ice, it feels like. You know, like, we're all kind of stuffy, and then Teresa's like, give me a hug, David. I love you so much. And it's like, yeah, you know, she's... I won't talk about it because I don't want to get you.
No, we're not doing it.
I don't want to get you thinking.
Yeah, Jenna's going to listen to this, and she goes, I told you, we're done. I said, No, I agree. We're just having a conversation.
Well, and there's some validity to that, too, because, you know, and this is what I say. I go, you know, I don't want to take away from this kind of great thing that's going on right now with our kids. You know, we're not using a car carrier. And the car carrier thing was brutal.
Yeah. Yeah, like, there are things I don't miss about that stage.
I have a trigger elbow from carrying the car carrier. Like, everyone's like, yeah. My arm just flails because I get twitchy.
Yeah. No, that's yeah, that's a phase of diapers, those. I don't know if I can get back. I don't know.
Well, and now apparently there's like a shortage of baby formula.
Yeah, exactly. So now's not a time. I'm going to use that as an excuse. No, we can't do it now. There's no formula.
There's nothing to feed them.
Let's wait. Let's see what happens. And let's get a few years older and then see if you change your mind.
So we're getting ready. Summer, I'm not going to say it's ending, but I did go for a bike ride this morning. It was a little cooler. I could feel, you know, we're starting... It's I think it's a good thing.
Listen, my summer just started. Baseball just ended. We got back. Like, my summer's just starting. So I'm going to say we're at the midway point.
Okay. Well, we really are.
Yeah. And the best part, and don't tell anyone who doesn't live here, but, you know, September, October is the best time to be down here. After Labor Day, when the tourists have gone home, you can get reservations again. You can do your thing. And it's still nice enough to go to the beach, but not blazingly hot.
Right.
Yeah. So that's the best kept secret. And before we had a place down here, we would rent, and the rentals typically go till Labor Day. We said, listen, can we just extend till the end of September? And they're, sure, yeah, absolutely. And that was always the best time. Labor Day through the end of September was always
listen, if you can get a great rental between like November and December,
yeah,
I think that's ideal.
I do like, yeah, yeah.
Because there's a lot of great stuff that goes on in the town,
mm-hmm.
but you know, it's with hot chocolate and earmuffs, but
yeah,
it's
exactly,
like,
which is fine.
I'd love to someday make enough money that I can rent a place and just hang out in the town for December.
Yeah.
Because I think that would be awesome.
Yeah. Pre-COVID, we probably once a month would be down here, just stay. There's something going on. There's always. And that's what's nice is you need to, in being a small town, you need to find things to do. And people do.
Yeah.
They generate reasons to celebrate and have events and parades and Sea Witch and all kinds of the fun stuff that happen after the summer season is over. It's great. Yeah, we love it.
So when do you think, because, you know, you mentioned earlier when we were talking that, you know, you're right on that point where you're really getting busy, but you still, you know, because it's like, do I expand? Do I hire more people? Mm-hmm. I just got done being scared. Is this another fear? Do you open 5 more offices? What are you going to do?
I mean, that's the question. I mean, even hiring, we've hired 3 new people in the last 18 months, like 3 new providers between, you know, Tiffany, you know, doing our injectables down here in Lewis, and then Tanya and Carolyn, our estheticians. Like, we are growing, which is never something that I even foresaw. You know, you get to a point and you say, oh, this is it. And then the opportunity sort of presents itself. I wasn't even looking for it, you know, in most cases. It just kind of came. And, well, okay, let's try this. And then it works. You go, okay, this is great. Now I'm happy. And then who knows what the next opportunity is going to be. I don't want to drive anymore. I mean, if I'm going to open more offices, I'm going to need more providers. Like, I spend enough time in the car. If anything, I'd like to put something a little closer to home so I don't have to spend an hour driving down amongst the Pennsylvania drivers that we discussed prior to this podcast. So.
Well, a buddy of mine, I'll call him corporate because he's corporate. But he told me once, he goes, you know, you either build a business to work at or sell, right? And I'm the guy, I'm the operator that pushed into business. I'm not the guy that is trained in business because, you know, I'm the guy that makes a little money and then I nest it, put it all away. Don't you know?
Yeah,
where
exactly.
If you know business, if you're a businessman, you know, you got to reinvest all that money into more business. And so it's tough to kind of go as the guy that's just really good at what he does and opens a business to being the guy that's like, we need another. I mean, I would think you'd have your own office here.
Yeah.
I mean, down here seems like you'd be inundated with people.
Yeah, and we could be here full time. My Mondays, you know, which I'm headed over to, they're jam packed because we're trying to get a week's worth of people into one day, essentially. So we certainly could be here and over full time. But there's only one of me, which is why I'd need somebody else to at least, you know, man the ship while I was in one location or the other.
Yeah,
that's the thing. And the complaint you always get, the age-old one, you know, you spend so much time in medical school and learning your trade and learning how to do these surgeries and learning all the things. You never learn the business side of it.
No.
So I'm making a lot of it up as I go along, asking people and calling friends who are 2 or 3 or 4 years ahead of me and saying, hey, what did you do when this happened? And you're cobbling it together. You know, if I was a business person, I'm sure there would be
smoother
transitions.
And figure it out.
Exactly. Things would go smoother from step one to step two. They get there. They're just, it's probably a little rockier, and you learn by making mistakes. I mean, that's how you learn anyway. That's my big lesson with my kids is, you want to do that? Go ahead and do it. And when you get hurt, come on back, and you'll know never to do that again because you're not going to listen to me. you learn by making mistakes. It's the same thing now. I do, I make a decision. I go, let's do this, and it doesn't work. I go, okay, this didn't work because of this. Now let's move on, and we'll do it this way. My old boss used to tell me that, and the guy I trained with in San Francisco. I'm like, Stu, weird side note. Last name also Seif, also pronounced Seif. No relation whatsoever, but he was my boss for 2 years, and it used to drive him crazy because patients just assumed we were father and son, and he was old enough to be my father. I mean, but you know, he looked good, but definitely, but he would literally have the speech in the beginning, this is not my son, this is not nepotism, he's here because he's qualified, not because we're blood, but I'm sure if we go far enough back, there's some relation. But Stu's thing, I would always ask him, how come you do it this way? I'd watch him do a surgery, why do you do this? He goes, because I used to do it every other way, and it didn't work.
Yeah.
And that's how you figure it out.
Yeah.
You know, you make mistakes, and you fix them, and you move on.
Yeah. Listen, I think that's what creates character.
Yeah.
Right? You know, if you don't fix the mistakes, you become a character.
Yeah.
Right? You work on the
mistakes. I write that down. I like that one. Remember that one.
Yeah. Well, you work through the mistakes, and that's what builds character. And that's, you know, and we've, this whole, you know, the last 2 years, it's been this real transition. And business is different. You know, how we handle business. You know, it used to be you hired people, and they just worked, right? Just showed up for work.
Mm-hmm.
Now today, people are like, eh, I don't like this job.
Yeah.
I'm leaving.
Yeah,
I'm doing something different. You're like, okay. And so that's part of the part that's scary for me is how much do I want to put in because I'm afraid they're just going to quit.
Yeah.
And I'm like, uh-oh.
Train them up, teach them, you know, tell them all the secrets, adjust what you do to, you know, make them comfortable and make it a good work environment for. And then 6 months later, they're gone. And
yeah. Well,
now you got to start over and go in a different direction because you get a whole new person in there who has a whole new set of needs and things. And it's
scary.
There are things about, there are times I go, oh God, it would be nice just to work for somebody again and not have to deal with HR and not have to deal with any of this other stuff. But I wouldn't trade it for anything. The freedom of being able to be your own boss, like we were talking about in the beginning, is worth its weight in gold, and just being able to do it the way you want to do it, not beholden to anybody else.
Well, my whole thing at the salon has changed. I mean, we do chair rental now. I mean, I've gone from, we were doing commission. We brought in a bunch of people. They're working, you know, but then when it seems like when it was a more of a commission style, there was a lot of responsibility on me to find or help create their success, which I don't mind doing, but, you know.
Yeah, I'm still working on myself, right, too. I'm
trying to have my own success here. But, you know, so now, and then, you, like you said, you invest your time and your efforts and all this, and then they quit. And listen, I think that's fine. You know, quit, go be awesome. It doesn't matter. But, you know, at the same time, it definitely exposes the insecurities that I have, and I get worried. So we decided to do, and I say we as in I am we.
Yes, you
me
are.
Me is we.
The royal we.
Yeah, I'm all we. But, you know, I decided let's do chair rental. So, you know, I really like to only work with people that have a little skin in the game.
Yeah.
You know, that are a little bit invested. They tend to show up, you know, and the world is their oyster, right? They can make and do whatever they want as long as they pay the rent. Yeah. And they seem to have a little bit of, I don't know, they stick around a little longer,
yeah.
I suppose.
Yeah, they're invested. They've got, you said, they got a skin in the game, and it's important.
Well, and listen, I think chair rental, I don't know if you can somehow incorporate that into that kind of, in the business that you do, but I know for us, it's a real step to maybe opening your own salon one day. You know, it's that, listen, I'll take the building responsibility. I'll be responsible for all the shit that could go wrong. Just do your thing. Don't steal from yourself and see where you go. And, you know, hopefully they open their own salon one day, and that's great.
Yeah. And that's a good thing. I mean, you want people out there that you've helped.
Yeah.
They say, listen, have you been to this? Because that was started right here.
Well, we were doing this podcast early on, and the whole theme was cooperation over competition. It's like, you know, when I opened my salon, I'm like, okay, let's do this. And then all of a sudden I heard another salon, and I'm like, oh God, now we're done. We're never going to make it. And, you know, let's burn them down. And, you know, it's just this complete insecurity that shows up right away. And I'm like, you know what? You know, Matt was great about that. Like he, you know, it didn't matter who you were, what your business was, you know, and I think he really liked to help a lot of people in the restaurant industry, obviously, but it didn't matter. But you know, whether you were competition, it's like, what can we do to help? You're not doing us any good being shut down and broken down here. So let's figure out You know, so we started getting into, like, when people open new businesses, how can you, instead of being in fear, send them flowers, send them a welcome card, and just let them know that, hey, congratulations, how can we, if you need anything, let us know. We're, you know, you need color, you need any developers, let us know, we will be there for you. And it's an easier, it requires more work.
Yeah.
But I think in the end, you sleep a little better.
Yeah, it's more rewarding, and everybody gets to be more successful. And again, here, it's a small town, so you don't want to burn bridges, and you don't want to be, we're in competition with them. And no, we're all in this together. You know, I used to, it was the same thing. When I first came out, you know, you're young, you're hungry. I wanted to do everybody's surgery. And whenever I heard somebody going somewhere else, I took it personally, like, oh my God, why did they not come to me? And a huge moment for me in this whole business, it was letting go of that and being like, hey, listen, there are other people out there who do what I do. We're very good. You know, there are other people out there who do what my practice does. We're very good, and that's fine. You know, I'm doing fine. Everyone I employ is doing fine. They're doing great. So, good. You know, kudos to people out there, and you want to maintain relationships because you never know when you're going to need someone's help or someone's going to need your help, and you keep a good relationship with people in this town. It works. I mean, I've seen it firsthand. I'm not going to mention names, but I will tell you, it has come back where I've had to make phone calls, be like, hey, listen, this happened. What do you think? And people have been uber helpful in helping me solve it. And I've answered the same question for someone else saying, how do I do this? Or this just happened, and now what do I do? You know, if you're there for each other, again, in a community like this, cooperation is so much easier. And yeah, you sleep better knowing that I'm helping this person. I'm not fighting. It's exhausting to do it that way.
Yeah, and it's you know, that's the fight. That's the battle. That's the hill, right? That's the one. And you get to the top and you throw up the white flag and you say, listen, I'm sick of fighting this fight. I want to be, you know, we're doing better cooperating with one another, you know, supporting one another. That means we're probably talking better about each other. We're, you know, it's always because this is, you know, we are local. And local's more than just a sticker. Yeah. And people want to come here, and you know who you are, and they want to point out everything that's a problem.
Yeah.
And I said, listen, I've been here since 1994, the good and the bad. And I can tell you, in 1994, we weren't getting an inundation of people because we just literally had the beach, right? That was it. But we've done a lot of work. We've cooperated with one another. We've built a great business. We've built a great place for people to come, and now I think we're at the point where we're ready for all these people to come, and hey, that's what it is, but don't come and complain about it. You know, get in your place and get local and start, you know, being more positive and stop complaining about, you know, we're not building a 10-lane highway to get you to the beach quicker.
No, that's not where you are. That's not where this is ever going to be, and that retains its charm. You're close enough to those things. You want to be, go ahead. You can go 2 hours north or 2 hours west. You can end up in Philly. You can end up in Baltimore. Those things are there. But this is a different community. And I knew nothing about it when we got here. And when we moved here in 08, you know, we were in California. We knew we wanted to come closer to home. So be somewhere on the East Coast. But I was one of those East Coasters where all I knew of Delaware was the 95 corridor where you cross through Wilmington going from New York to D.C. or something like that. I didn't know there was a whole world out here.
It stops at 95.
I was like, wait, there's more? You can actually go down Route 1. Again, there's a whole peninsula down. Okay, let's check it out. And that's how we ended up, you know, getting here and looking at it. And I said, okay, this could work. I mean, the story's a little more in depth than that. We'll save that for another podcast.
I got an e-bike at the end of last summer. I had ordered it for last summer.
Oh yeah, no, that was
and it was a container
chain,
ship.
All supply chain,
it was in that. But I got it, and I had been on that bike. I mean, I am addicted to my e-bike. Oh my God, and I was riding it this morning. I was over in the President's Playground, down in Gordon's Pond, and just in awe of what an amazing freaking place that we live in, and just how blessed that, you know, I went from my house, Junction Trail, Boardwalk, President's Playground, Lewis Beach.
Yeah.
I rode on the King's Highway, right? You know, it was just freaking awesome. Pulled up in my yard, came down doing a podcast. I'm just blessed beyond belief, and my life has improved because, you know, I got a small business and I have friends like you, and it's just awesome.
It is great. No, we love it. It was, well, we don't look back. Like, this was, coming here was the right decision.
Dude, I came here from San Diego.
Yeah, it's not an easy transition.
No.
When they say slower, lower, they really aren't messing around. And especially back, I mean, you got here before, but even when I got here in 08, the difference between then and now is huge.
Well, it gets on you.
Yeah. We lived right here. We rented our first time. We were right here in Painter's Mill.
Yeah.
And we couldn't order. We unpacked. We couldn't find one place to deliver. I think Grotto's was the only place. I think we ate Grotto's for 2 solid weeks while we were unpacking boxes because nobody else would deliver to us. And yeah. This place was at maybe 30% occupancy because nobody was here full time back then. And it was like a horror movie. It was like The Strangers. Like if someone knocked on our door and came to get us, no one's around to hear us scream. Like it took a lot of getting used to being here. But A, we love it, and B, the changes have been, it's positive. I like that it's busier now. I like that there's more people here. Sometimes too much, especially when you're sitting in traffic. But
listen, I love what this town's doing. Yeah. I actually really am. You can't, unless you've been here, you don't see it. If you're just coming for the first time, you got a big list. But if you've been here, we've got a lot of great stuff. People think infrastructure means additional. Someone actually told me that we should shut the bus lane down for summer so that it should be for cars. And I'm like, you are an idiot.
Get on the bus.
Yeah, get on the freaking bus. It is where, I tell you what, that bus is key at 4th of July.
Mm-hmm.
We love the bus. But grocery stores that are open up, we're unfortunately, unfortunately, we're moving. We're moving on Wednesday.
Oh, well, yeah. No,
we're
that's
moving
not
out
a,
of Rome.
That's not a fun process, but...
We're moving out of Rome. Yeah. It's 5 miles down the road. But, but there's new great grocery stores. It used to be, I people would be like, the traffic's too bad. I go, well, where do you live? And we live in Milton. I go, well, where do you grocery shop? Giant. I go, don't.
Yeah.
We're full.
Yeah.
Find your own grocery store.
There's another place to go. You got to find something else.
Yeah, exactly. But we're starting to see like Little Bay Health are opening up, the new medical center, the BB Medical Center. Redner's is opening up. I was talking to somebody. They were talking about this boot camp class that's at Five Points. And I was like, I don't know. And she goes, but I think they're opening one down towards Harbison. I'm like, Harbison.
Exactly.
That's my new spot. Yeah, like we are doing work here.
Yeah.
And it needs to be recognized.
Yeah. And people are getting it, and they're going, listen, I'm going to do this here, and I'm going to open this here. And, it's been a huge growth and a good one.
Well, listen, your phone's blowing up. I know you're a working man.
Yeah, exactly. So, see, now when I'm running behind today, no one can get mad at me.
Hey, I wanted to ask you, how do you handle this new age of advertising like TikTok and stuff?
The girls have tried to get me to do TikTok, and I just, I don't know. I don't know that it's me. We do the Instagram, social media, Facebook stuff, but TikTok, I don't know. I feel old.
Listen,
when I look
TikTok,
at it.
As soon as you say TikTok, it classifies you. It's not TikTok, it's 15, 20 second videos with music, and you're the producer. And so I've been having a lot of fun with reels on Facebook.
So I don't have to dance. It's not a dancing
thing. No, man. I've been doing these
TikTok dances because my son knows those.
I've been riding my e-bike and just filming the path ride and putting music to it, and people love that shit. So, but, as a hair salon owner, I'm trying to figure out, oh, my God, do I do this haircut thing and try to promote? So it's tough. They're trying to get you into it, or are you trying to have a little... Try to have some fun with it. Don't maybe TikTok because that... That may makes you feel uncomfortable, but check out the Facebook Reels and see if you can create.
I could start there. I'll start there. Facebook Reels and put some stuff together. Yeah,
we don't want to get too old where we still can't have fun.
Yeah, no, exactly. I mean, I do enjoy it, but I
don't want to see you out on Route 1 doing some dance up.
No promises. I mean, if I really get into it, I'm going.
Jen is like, what did you tell him? Yeah. I don't know. It was a suggestion. Now he's out doing. He's got a TikTok dance on the corner. Well, listen, brother, I appreciate you coming on, man.
No, thanks for having me. This was wonderful.
I always consider you a great friend. And can people follow you anywhere? Do you have an Instagram? Are you promoting
The office? Yeah, we're Sife Center. Now you see, this is how non-media savvy I am. I'm going to have to look up my own Instagram on...
Well, listen,
we're out
it's
there.
Easy.
If you just look up Sife Center, we're there. We have a Facebook. We've got an Instagram. We're...
Sife Center.
We don't have TikTok yet. Yeah, Sife, S-E-I-F-F Center.
Send Brian a message and tell him you want to see his first TikTok video.
Yeah, dances. If anyone's got a dance for me, I'll do it. I'll do it.
Hey, will you come back sometime?
Absolutely. Yeah, no, this is great.
Are you going to do Firefly this year?
Yeah, I'm a big Green Day fan, so Green Day, Weezer, I think that's Friday. Weezer Friday, Green Day Saturday. Yeah, those are the ones I don't want to miss.
I listened to the Dookie this morning.
That's so great.
that may be one of the greatest albums ever.
Yeah. I did have someone's daughter tell me that Firefly this year is all for old people. I'm like, yeah, that's now me. Yeah.
I thought it was for younger people.
Yeah. I think that every year. I'm like, oh my God, I know two acts on here. I usually have to call Dion and say, or email Dion and go, who am I supposed to see this year? Now I'm like, okay, I know at least two bands.
Well, listen,
I'm going to see.
Speaking of Dion, we're doing the Discovery Music Podcast. It's me, Dion Lamb, Trey Krause, Jordan Gum, and we just started, last episode was the first half of Thursday.
Okay.
So we are in Firefly mode.
Okay,
so
good.
We're going through all the bands.
All right.
Reviewing them. Nothing negative. Just, yeah. This is what I listen to. I'm not going to say, this sucks.
Yeah, don't go see that. But Dion was always very good at saying, okay, at 1 o'clock on this stage, you should check these guys out.
And he's doing it this year.
3 o'clock, get over here to see these guys. And he sets my itinerary.
He's doing it this year.
Okay, good. All right, well, now I got it. Yeah.
I've been issued my three bands. We will be meeting on Thursday. And I just have such a blast with those guys.
Right, yeah, no.
So blessed to have those guys. But check out that podcast. Find Brian on the Syfe Center Instagram.
Yep,
and send him a message. I'm ready to see a reel. All right, pal.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Catch
appreciate
you later,
it,
man.
Pal.